Hello, this is Vanessa Farina, your host, and welcome back to the Creative Human Podcast. I am just so excited for today's episode. As you know, this season is all about the people who inspire me, and I have been following this young woman on social media, and I'm just like so obsessed with her business, with her brand, her creativity, and I'm so honored that she accepted to be part of this season as one of the people who inspire me. So with further ado, I would love to welcome you to Maggie Owens, who is the owner of Presley Page.
Hello. And wow, Vanessa, I feel like the hype game is strong.
I love it. Okay. So before we find out a little bit more about who you are, your background, your life, et cetera, that $1 million question when you were a younger girl.
Oh gosh. Asked,
what did you want to be when you grow up? What did you say?
So all my life, I always would tell people I'm going to be an attorney or a lawyer. And clearly I did not know the difference between the two of those things or that they were the same. So that was always my answer until I was about in junior high. And then I would always say, I'm going to be a lawyer, attorney, and have a business. And so still didn't know the difference, but that was kind of the trajectory for my life for many, many years.
I love it. Okay. Tell us a little bit about who you are today, like a really quick summary without giving too much information.
Oh gosh. My name is Maggie. I'm from Arkansas. I have the opportunity to travel and work in lots of different places. And now I have the privilege of owning a small business in Fayetteville, Arkansas. It's a brick and mortar store and an e-commerce business, Presley Page. And it is named after my dog, Presley, who's a golden doodle, and then my middle name, Page. So that's kind of like quick snippet summary. Just turned 30 last year. That was a big deal to me. Yeah, that's kind of who I am.
I love it. Okay, so walk us through, what was life like growing up in Arkansas? Family, siblings, community, school?
Yeah, for sure. So I grew up in a town in like South Central Arkansas. I think the population is like 35,000. So if you think about it, most people have more Instagram followers than live in my hometown, like most brands, right? And so I grew up in a really small, very conservative, and I would say like preppy town in the South. I was like very much followed in those footsteps. I was a debutante. Like I wanted to be the president of every single club. Because I was like, I have to go to college and I want to be, you know, this and that. So I was very much like tried to be a golden child my entire life. I have one older brother and then one younger sister that I grew up living with. And I played sports. So it was a lot going on. Family dynamics were kind of weird. My dad actually passed away when I was 7. And I feel like that had a really big part of like my upbringing and was really formative into like my perspectives on life today and like how I valued work and my relationships.
Wow. Thank you for being vulnerable, because I know that is something that's really hard in being able to share these experiences. So I'm sure, well, I know for a fact myself and our listeners are very honored to have heard that part of your story, which is really like that big foundation, right? We totally forget, like as children, like all these things that happen, like really help us decide like in our brain unconsciously or, you know, consciously about certain things. So it really sounds like, you know, you had to like really step up, right? And it's something that you were very passionate about your career. Where do you think you learned that from?
I would say my mom. When my dad passed away, my mom was always working. So she wasn't a stay-at-home mom, even when my father was alive. Mm-hmm. But when my dad passed away, she would always tell us, like, you have to be able to support yourself. Like, whatever happens, mm-hmm. you have to be able to support yourself. And so that really stuck with me. And I was, like, coming from, like, a single-family household. There was a lot of things you don't really realize until you're an adult that happen when you're a child, right? Yeah. And so I didn't really like realize how hard it was for my mom and how much she was like really working and like put herself in, you know, sometimes a bad financial situation just to provide us what we wanted when we're like, you know, bratty teenagers, right? So it's like, why can't we have this? Everybody else has this.
Right.
And so not being able, not, I don't want to make it seem like I went without things because my mom was a great provider for our family. But we didn't have everything in abundance and we always had to work hard. So I think that that was really a big deal to me because there were things that I wanted when I was a teenager and started babysitting when I was probably like sixth grade. So I couldn't even drive, but I would like walk around the neighborhood or my mom would drop me off. The families would pick me up. So I was babysitting almost every single weekend from the time I was like in junior high or middle school up until I graduated high school. And the people that I would babysit for, nanny, whatever you want to call it, right? Like I would go to one family in the morning, one family in the afternoon, and then a family in the evening. So like every summer, I was just like, how much can I work? And so I wanted to buy a car and like I wanted to buy all these things and I wanted nice clothes, you know, because it's like growing up in a small Southern town, you know, like I remember all these kids would like come to school with Lacoste and they had these nice iPhones or I guess not iPhones back then, you know, like they had all these nice things and I wanted them, but my mom was like, girl, no, that's not happening. And so that was a really big part of, if you want something, you have to work hard to get it. And right. So I definitely still have in my closet somewhere an Ed Hardy shirt that I remember in high school, I paid like $300 for, which makes me cringe now. But it was like, I cherished that item so much. Like, I don't even think I remember I wore it to a Paramore concert, maybe one other thing, but like, because I had worked so hard for that item, like I really valued everything in my life a little differently, I think, than my peers. And that helped set me up for success later in life. For sure.
I love that. I love that. You were like taught at such a young age to be resilient and work hard, right? And that's it. It's not money doesn't just grow off the trees, and to really understand the value of having a really great work ethic, right? That it seems like your mom gave you a really great example of, but also thinking long-term for yourself to always provide for yourself. And I think that's like, at least every human should have that, you know, concept, you know, man or woman, but particularly woman. And we do have that opportunity today. So I love that your mom did that. And she seems like she was a really great supporter of you and your siblings. And you were just always a go-getter, right? Seems like since a very young age.
Yeah, I think people would say that I was like crazy at that time, but I was always very much like, go, 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 do. And then coming from like a small community, I think it was like easy to try to like be that person, you know, like it's easy to be a big fish in a small pool.
Yeah.
And then when I went to college and I went to this university that had more students than my hometown, that was kind of like a good grow up experience and really helped me kind of like figure out who I was.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. Okay. So what was it like growing up with siblings? Like, what was that like?
Oh gosh. Well, like I said, I tried to be the golden child. So you can imagine that is not always the best dynamic with siblings. So, you know, my sister and I fought like sisters. We were always like friends, but sisters. And I really, for my sister and I, we weren't super close until after I had left home. Mm-hmm. But my brother and I always had a really strained relationship and, it was really hard. He and I still don't have the best relationship. And, that was really hard for me in the sense that, there was a lot of like, mental abuse more than physical, but some physical. And I was always like, for many years, felt a lot of resentment towards my family, mm-hmm. because that was happening. And my mom was like, you know, working so hard to provide for us and deal with her own struggles. Mm-hmm. And this was going on, you know, so it's messy and it wasn't a great relationship, but what I would say, like, without going into detail, you know, like he and I still don't have a great relationship at all. But It really helped me realize the value of good relationships in my life.
Yeah.
And how to protect myself against people that maybe don't have my best interests at heart. So I would say like, that's been kind of like a shell, you know, like a turtle. I guess sometimes it takes a little bit for me to dive deeper with people. And I think a lot of that's back to like having kind of been through that kind of relationship and not wanting to always be so vulnerable or put myself out there, you know, to get hurt.
No, I totally can relate with that, like 1,000%. My mom actually sent me this meme that said, we met like 4 years ago. When are you going to start talking about yourself? And then the person's like, we just met like 4 years ago, like give it time, slow down. Long story short, what I'm trying to say is I can totally relate with that because I myself saw a lot of those unhealthy relationships growing up and also had them myself. So when I meet people like today, I'm like an introvert at heart, right? But because what I do and I love connecting with others, I've learned to become an extrovert. But when people are like, you're an introvert, like, I don't understand. And it's like, well, I feel like that goes back to like my childhood and just the things I heard or seen because you don't want to get hurt. And it's hard to get vulnerable regardless.
Yeah.
It's a little tougher, especially if you've dealt with some sort of trauma or abuse yourself, which I believe every single one of us has. And I am like, so like an advocate that like our traumas and our situations, especially in our childhood and adulthood, are what create our superpowers as adults. And right. Cause we're just like all superheroes. Life is hard, but we make the best of it. But I feel like some people in particular, like yourself, like you are a true superhero. You're like, okay, I live in this small town. You know, this is not really what I want for myself. I'm going to cultivate all these things. What can I take out of it? And I'm just going to, you know, live my life and just make the best of it because it's not about yesterday. It's about the future. You have the power to do that. And you totally did, right?
Yeah, it's funny. Like, I never thought I would be back in Arkansas because, you know, when you like grow up in a town and you're like, don't really love it, like typical small town USA kid, right? I was like, I hate this town. I'm leaving. I'm never coming back. And it's like, this state has this big X on it, right? And then I went to college in Utah. And so my first job out of college was in Arkansas. And I was like, oh my gosh, what the heck? You know, like, giving up on my dreams. What am I doing? You know, so it was kind of funny, but I love Fayetteville. I've left and come back again and again. So I totally relate to what you were saying too. As an introvert myself, everyone I think assumes that I'm very extroverted, but I am the most introverted person ever. My roommate in college, her name was Yaya. She used to always joke like, is Maggie here or is she sleeping? Is she awake? Just because I would always be in my room with the door shut.
Yeah.
And they would always, I mean, it would be like, so before the shop opened, if I wasn't working, I can go like days. Like I would go from like Friday all the way till Sunday without even leaving my house on the weekend. So COVID didn't really impact my social life at all. So it was kind of funny.
For the listeners who might wonder, like, I'm someone who's like addicted to being uncomfortable. And that's like one of the ways, right? So like, what a great example for like those who might be listening or like, oh, okay. Like how, you know, I might be an introvert. I might want to learn how to be an extrovert, but I still want to be true to myself. But what a great example, right? Because you have to get uncomfortable and it gets weird, but you are always in control to set your boundaries, right?
For sure. Yeah, absolutely.
So you mentioned that you moved, you wanted to move to Utah. Like, what was that like? What was going through your mind? Like, what was the plan?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, I think I had a lot of plans, but I don't know that any of those things happened. So I grew up very Mormon in, or like Latter-day Saints, I guess is like the more appropriate way to call that, to say that. So I grew up Mormon in Arkansas. There's not very many Mormon kids around Arkansas, as you can imagine. And so I was like, oh my gosh, what a great opportunity. I'll just go to Utah. be around a lot of Mormons and meet my husband, get married from school. So I had some friends that went to school in Utah and Idaho that were from Arkansas. And I went and visited them during, you know, high school or whatever. I flew out during Christmas or Thanksgiving break. And then when it came time for me to go to school, it just seemed like, I mean, honestly, there wasn't any other consideration. Like, I went to the University of Utah and I was not considering going anywhere else. BYU wasn't really my jam, which is another school out there that's really big. And I didn't like Utah State. It was a little too rural for me. Yeah. So I lived on the one in the city. And so real reasons that I went there, I liked the snow, or I thought I liked the snow, right? and I wanted to be around a lot of Mormon kids. It was beautiful, and I thought I would be able to get married. That was kind of like the silly reason on why I chose to go to school out there. I don't really know. It was kind of silly. Like, thinking about it now is really silly. My freshman year, even with scholarships, cost me more than all of my other years of college combined because of out-of-state tuition. Yeah. So it wasn't the best decision, but it's all paid off now and we just move on. So
yeah, but wait, right? You wouldn't have known until you did it, because I'm sure it would have totally stayed in your mind, like, what if, right?
Oh yeah, I would have. Well, everyone was trying to get me to not go. The people that were closest to me that were like, this is not the best idea. But I was so headstrong that I had to leave. And so that's kind of what I did. I went to school out there. I really loved it. I made a lot of great friends. And it really opened my mind. I think when people think of Utah, they obviously think of like Mormons and snow. But there's such great diversity out there, especially in Salt Lake City. Yeah. And coming from a very conservative town, it really opened my mind to what else is out there in the world.
Mm-hmm. That's great. So, okay. So you went to school, you graduated. What were the next steps?
I started working for a local real estate developer in Arkansas. Mm-hmm. And I guess really like back up at, up until probably 3 weeks before I finished school, I always thought I was going to go to law school. Like, there was no questions asked. I was going to be a lawyer. I was moving to DC, and then that's not really what happened. So I kind of was like praying about it, trying to figure out my life.
Yeah.
And I didn't go. I just was like, I don't want to do that. So I started applying to jobs, moved across the country to Arkansas. I had no family in the state at this point because my mom had moved to Wyoming, and my sister, I think, was in Illinois or whatever. So I didn't really have family here. So I packed up a U-Haul, pulled it behind my little Volvo car, and drove across the country. I think I had like 3 or 4, maybe 5 interviews before. And then I had another one in person. I was like, they're going to hire me, so I just have to go there. So that's kind of what I did. I drove here. I had the interview. I took my last final on a Friday morning. I dropped it off or whatever. I used to deliver newspapers in college. So I can like distinctively remember like pulling into the parking lot with my final paper or whatever I needed to turn in and going to make my delivery route, getting back in my U-Haul and like driving off. So it was kind of a like very vivid memory. And so got to Arkansas on a Saturday, interviewed on a Monday. Got the job offer on a Tuesday, found an apartment on Wednesday, moved in on Thursday, started a job on Monday. So like,
awesome.
It was a whirlwind kind of experience. But so I got hired to do a job that was an apartment complex that was under construction. And they were really, it was their first student housing project to manage. And so I had worked in student housing in college as like an RA.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my first job. It was me and I had 14 part-time students that worked for me and one full-time maintenance person like a month before the project opened. So that was my first job. There were a few other people like in the mix, but that was like one of those experiences that I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to sink or swim and I got to start swimming because I mean, it was like 2012, social media wasn't really big. Mm-hmm. It was like off the verge, right? But I was like, I don't really know what I'm doing, but I know how to use Twitter and Instagram. And so like, I remember, I always like credit it to Instagram and Twitter because, and I knew how to use email marketing, right? Like I was like MailChimp or Constant Contact or something, but it was like, I wasn't a marketing student. I was like going to law school, right? Mm-hmm. So I had never really studied marketing at all, but these were things that I didn't even think that was a
thing
major, right? I didn't even know. It didn't cross my mind. And so that's what I did. Like, I just started marketing it. We were lots of like really basic guerrilla marketing tactics, like bar nights and messaging people on Instagram, like commenting, you know, like on all their photos, because you got to think this is like pre-tags. So it was like liking everyone's photo and trying to like manually engage with people, Instagram giveaways, you know, like all the things that are now, but like, this is the early days. So it was very like, what is she doing?
This is like pre-era. Like, how crazy is that? Like, you really remember. I totally remember. And I don't think people like, there has to be some way that that is like, how do I explain it? I don't know. Like in history, like pre-social media, what life was like, people don't understand. Like, that was a different type of world.
Yeah. I mean, this was like pre-Valencia filters, I think, right?
Yeah.
Like, this, I mean, when we were using Instagram in 2012, 13, or I guess it was 2013 because I graduated that year. I mean, this was like the early days, the very early days.
Yes.
And so, I mean, it's so funny, like no tags, no locations. We were just like liking it. I mean, I would literally like have one of the girls in the office sit down and her job was just to like everyone's photos.
Wow.
And comment on their photos, you know, yeah. And it was just like, so cute. Come and see us, you know, because you didn't have DMs.
Right.
Like, I remember DMs came into play, I think like 2014-ish, maybe. Mm-hmm. But this was like pre all those things. Like, I don't even think you could tag people without like, you know how you always like tag them in the captions?
Yes.
So that's what we did. Like, and I attribute a lot of that early success to, I mean, the product was awesome. The location was great, but how we like really gained brand awareness was through social media and Twitter a ton. So Twitter was really big, much bigger than it is now for students. And, so there were like really big, I guess, like fan accounts, I guess you could say, for the university and like for the class of whatever. And so we would like engage with them all the time.
Loved it. I love it. Okay. So you're working there and, you know, you're learning something completely different than what you went to school for. Right. And it's also something that not many people, like everybody was learning at the same time, right? Because with technology and the social media, like I didn't envision it to be where it is today. I thought it was still going to be back like 2012 era, right? Like I had no idea. So what were you thinking then at the time? Like what were your next steps?
Yeah. So I can remember, going to school in Utah is a very creative place. Mm-hmm. So, there's just so many awesome creatives. And I remember like seeing cool things on Instagram mm-hmm. back then and like following early stage bloggers. Like, I mean, like out of LA, like there's this girl, Jordan, she has a big company called Pack Party now. It's ultra successful. But I remember like when she was in San Francisco and like posting these things. So I remember seeing all this, whoa, there's this whole world out there of like women entrepreneurs and doing all these cool little things that aren't so cookie cutter.
Yeah.
Screenshots were around back then. So like the year I got my first iPhone. So
yeah.
I was working on, sorry, this is going to come together. I promise. I was working at this Christian store in Utah. This kid came in, he had the new iPhone. Mm-hmm. This was 2012, probably like that fall. And I remember I was checking him out and he had the app Instagram open. I was like, what is that? He's like, oh, sorry, I just got this new phone. I've been downloading all the good apps. And I was like, oh, what's that one? He's like, it's Instagram. You've got to download it. And I literally remember being like, huh, what is it? He's like, you post photos and your friends can see them. And I was like, oh, I don't have Facebook. Like, cause I had deleted my Facebook. I was like, yeah. I don't think that I would like it. And he was like, no, it's so different. And I remember like him writing it down on a piece of paper. Cause I was going to get my iPhone after work that day.
Yeah.
And okay. I remember he wrote down like Instagram. Cause I was like, seems so foreign. Right.
Yeah.
And I got the app that day. but it was so different from Pinterest. The formatting was different. And like you could, back then it was chronological order. You could easily see what your friends were liking. And so that was really like, whoa, like went to small town girl, goes to Utah, sees a lot of the world. Then you have social media, Instagram coming into play. And I'm seeing so much more mm-hmm. and how like, women are doing these things in their living rooms and like building these big, but you know, now they're big businesses, but at the time they weren't. And so that was really kind of what made me realize like, whoa, there's something like way cooler I could be doing. And I kind of always had it in the back of my mind that I was like, I want to do something someday. I always wanted to open a business. I know when we kind of spoke pre this conversation, I talked about how, and I think it was like middle school or junior high, there was this store, it's called Pink Avenue in my hometown. It's different owner now, kind of different vibe, but you know, when I was, it's like early 2000s, this was like so cool. It was right next to Starbucks. So we would all go in junior high, like Starbucks, and I didn't drink coffee. So I would get like the really cute Izzy drink. And then I would always look at this boutique and they had like pink wallpaper. I mean like pink picture frames, like cute clothes. It was like all Juicy Couture, you know, like all these fun things. And she was early 20s female entrepreneur. And I was like, that's it. Like, I've got to do, I want to do something like that. Like, it's so great. And in like, I really say like, Amanda, what's her name? And I don't know her personally, but she opened that business. And I always say like, that was one of the first like young female entrepreneurs that I was like, whoa, I want to be like that when I grow up, you know? And so when I'm working in this really not my favorite job, you know, and like having, you know, I worked for years. So Presley Page is 1.5 next month. So I was working for years, always with this goal of like, I'm going to open my own business someday. And I want to own a boutique. And when my friend, she worked in college, she worked at a clothing gift apparel kind of store. And I remember one time I went to visit her and I was like, oh, show me the back room. Like, I cared about like all the little things because I was like in my mind thinking like, I'm going to own this. I'm going to have something like this someday. Yeah. And I would always tell that to people. I'm going to open a store someday. And so I would say like whatever was happening, I always was like latched onto this idea. Like I'm not fashionable, but I love color and I love like cool gifts and like unique items.
Yeah.
And I really, you know, like as time grew on, I kept seeing more and more women take those risks and find success in like following their passion.
Right.
And what's so exciting about our generation and even the next generation is like really kind of throwing out this idea of like working for someone else in this 9-to-5. And I want to say like, I learned so much working for other people and I value all of my experiences. So not to take any of that for granted. And not to say that they weren't important, but I knew what I wanted for my life and the kind of like lifestyle I wanted to have and what I wanted to kind of bring and how I wanted to show up into the world. And so that's kind of how Presley Page came about. And I really got serious in 2016. I was living in Springfield, Missouri, another like kind of small midtown USA town. I was like, I really want to make this happen. And there was another female entrepreneur in Fayetteville and she owns a very successful e-commerce and brick and mortar store here. And she had opened one in Dallas and had made the decision to close that location. And I saw I think it was like my mom or my friend or sister, somebody sent me the Instagram and was like, hey, these things are for sale. And so I literally like all the tables that are in our store today, I purchased secondhand from her.
Wow.
And they were in my mom's garage forever, like years. And so it's like, I mean, everything from like cash register, like cash boxes and clickers. I mean, I got so many things secondhand from her at multiple different sales or other stores that were closing. So for me, it was like, I knew that I wanted this. So I always knew that I was going to open this business, but I didn't know when. Immediately when I started like buying up all this old, you know, like used items, I was trying to get funding from the bank. Every bank was telling me, no, this wasn't a recession proof business. I went to like 6 banks. And when I was living in Springfield, and then I would, through the time of living in Springfield, and then like during that same time period, I moved back to Arkansas and my mom moved back here. So whatever timeline wise, but everyone kept telling me no. And even my friend's dad was on like the board of a bank, and he like was like, oh, she's good for it, whatever. Everyone was like, no, this is not a good idea. And so I kept working and saving all my money to open up Presley Page. And so for me, I always like tell it, for me, my experience was I didn't have it all, and I tried to figure out what I could make work. So ultimately I had to start with all my own savings and really risk it all. So I always joke, like I risk my life savings on paper plates and cards. So like everything goes bad, we can have potlucks for the rest of our lives, not have all the plates and napkins. And so it was really scary. But I think when people see Presley Page, or they see like other women, at least I know for Ida, like comparison always was sneaking in and saying like, oh, well, they just have, you know, so much, or they must have so much money, you know, like I could never do that. So like my encouragement to other people when they message me on Instagram was like, start small. Like, what could you buy on Craigslist today? Like, that would help with your business. And I mean, I painted everything that we have, even like in our office that we have now upstairs, our like warehouse, like there's an old couch that was like also used and purchased from somebody, and a coffee table that I got broken from somebody that I tried to fix, you know, like it wasn't, nothing's like shiny and brand new, and it doesn't have to be. And I think like, what a good testament to life too. Like so often you think you have to have this new and shiny thing in order to like accomplish what you want, but you just got to start where you can. And so for me, that was like starting with things that were used to be able to like help grow the business. Not to say we don't have some new things, but a lot of it is not. I mean, I try to be thrifty when I can. And it was a real struggle to get to the point of being able to open Presley Page. It was a big dream of mine, and it was really hard to get there after years and years of trying and being told no, that this was a terrible idea. And now we're in this kind of like, we're figuring it out state. It's working, but we're kind of really trying to figure it out and how to make it grow more. And it's an exciting place to be.
I love it. There's just so much beauty into that story, right? Because I personally think there's so much more authenticity to a founder story when they're starting their business, when it's, you literally have to be so creative. And it's like, okay, you might want to make lemonade, but you don't have any lemons, but there might be other fruits out there, and let's go find them and morph them into what you want them to be, right? And I think there's also much more appreciation through your process, right? There's just something about so much more value. I don't like to use the word struggle in that sense, but it's like you literally are self-made, and you should be so proud of yourself because you had this idea, right? You wanted to start a boutique. You were inspired by other women, and it's not something that's very common to see this creativity. You went to Utah. You went to, you know, you wanted to be a lawyer. Like you could have just taken that road of comfort and become a lawyer. And just push these dreams, you know, to the back burner and said, maybe one day, right? But you decided to just say, you know what? I'm going to go out of my uncomfort zone, going to move back, going to do this. Let's see where it goes. And you have nothing to lose, technically.
I love that you're making it seem like I had it all figured out. But
no, but you didn't. You didn't. That's the today.
So I was like, I am very risk averse. I'm so scared to make decisions. I remember I was in the parking lot of the space where I was like going to sign my lease with my landlord. And I called my friend, his name is Hunter, like my best friend. And I called him, I was like, Hunter, I don't know what to do. I'm scared. Like, should I sign this lease? And he's like, well, just F and do it. But he's like, you know, he said the word, he's like, just do it. He's like, it's not, I mean, he always would say like, it's now or never. And he was always a big cheerleader for me. I signed the lease in September and we didn't open until January. Part of it was that I didn't know what I was doing. And the other part that I was scared as heck to order product and spend my money on these items. Cause I was like, oh my gosh, what if this doesn't work? I was like, well, I could just like not open the business and just pay the rent. I mean, I was so scared and it was finally like, oh, I got to figure this out. I just got to do it. So, I don't shy away from the word struggle because it was a struggle, but it was like so beautiful. Like looking back, the journey was so beautiful.
Yeah.
Even though it was like so hard.
Yeah. But there's probably like no better feeling than that. Right. Even though it was tough. Yeah.
I'm still kind of in it. So ask me in 10 years.
Okay. So cool. All right. So I want to just reflect back, right? I know you mentioned earlier when we started recording the episode, how like your business name came about. Can we talk a little bit about that again? Which I thought was cool.
So I've only ever been fired from one babysitting job. And I guess like fired isn't really the way they call that. They just never called me back again. But the little girl's name was Presley. And I was like, I don't know, 17, 16. And I loved her name so much. And I always was like, I'm going to hold on to this name because I want to use it. I want to name my little girl Presley. And I love gender neutral names. So I was like, it'll be a little girl or boy. I was 24-ish, 25-ish, still no kids, no man on the horizon, still today. I was like, I'm not going to waste a good name. Like, I'm going to name my dog Presley when I got a dog. So I named Presley. And then my name's Maggie Page, MP Owens on Insta. So I always will like write Maggie Page. And I was one day just doodling, I guess you could say, and wrote Maggie Page or Presley Page. And I was like,
that's
good. And I had been trying forever to like figure out what the name of the business was going to be. And so really it was just like one day I wrote it down and that was the end of it. And I hired a branding agency and the rest is history. I just loved the way that it like rolled off my tongue. And I loved like Page, like a play on books and paper and, I don't know. Like there's not much else there other than that it sounded really good and it kind of like tied back to me. I love things that are ambiguous a little bit. So like what's Presley Page? Like is it apparel line? Is it shoes? Like is it a law office? Like it could kind of be anything.
Right.
And so that was really what led me there. I try to steer away from things that are like, I don't know, something plates or whatever. Cause it's like, Then you already gave away the secret. Like,
right. It's mysterious.
Yeah. Like we want to make them explore and discover.
I love it. Can we go back to talking about social media? I mean, we grew up in this where we didn't know what social media was. It came about. And then you were at this other job learning about it, which is not even like the career that you focused on. And right now you have 13.8 followers. Like that's wild. And so, so, so cool. I know I just checked because when we were talking about that, you know, that's just so awesome. Like it's like the power of your community.
Looking it up right now, we are 3 followers away from 13.9. So hopefully some listeners will follow us. I mean, first off, I want to say like I have been really grateful to have live in a place where people want to support small businesses. Mm-hmm. And there are some rock star women here who I knew, some of them I knew well, some of them I didn't know very well at all and still don't know, but they have been awesome to help kind of propel Presley Page and help spread awareness about the brand. And so I say that because I know that the early days, like we're only a year and a half old, you know, like starting out, those people have been extremely fundamental to helping me grow past the page. Always sharing, posting, tagging, you know, all the things. So I will say that community is super important. Mm-hmm. Love that we have a great social media following, but sometimes like you can't overlook the real life connections and like those people that really have helped make the difference. So first and foremost, super happy where we're at, but there are a lot of women that helped me kind of like get started. And so they're really important to my story. The person that I bought all those tables from, she's one of those people that has a larger social media following and always shared other girls that, you know, I've gotten to connect with through like a local workout group. So those people really, really helped me when I was so scared and didn't have the confidence in myself and that this was going to work. They were there to help kind of like find that myself. What's been really exciting is to see how the brand and I guess my voice has resonated with other people. Mostly it's just talking about products, but you know, like sometimes people ask about clothes or whatever. We don't sell apparel, but I am a plus size woman who, I know it's so maybe hard to see on Instagram wise, but like I have a lot of acne scarring. I never was like this picture perfect, you know, girl, I guess you could say that like media or society made people want to look like, or made you think that you needed to be. And so I know personally, like it was always so hard to be like, well, people want to buy anything from me. Like I don't look like these other women. And I know that I'm white and there's, you know, obviously privilege with that. But there were so many things about me. I'm like a 2X to 3X right now. And I'm a larger woman. And so it was like, will people want me or like, am I not what they want? Because you're definitely not going to see me in a bikini on Instagram. maybe someday, but I'm really pale. So we need to go like spray tan first. But I think that like, that has been something really interesting that I wasn't expecting and that I've been able to relate to people through DMs and just like in-store conversations is that maybe a sense of appreciation for not everything, me being the same outward appearance as everyone else. And also, you know, like small town USA, like you see so much cool come out of the coast and sometimes it's exciting to see something different in your backyard or in like from another person here in the Midwest. So that's been really exciting and fun to connect with people about.
Yeah. Well, I think that's like definitely one of the top things that drew me to you. I don't know how I found your Instagram page. And I always say it's like the power of women and the power of social media, right? And when I found it, I was just obsessed. I think I told you when we had our other call before, like my bucket list item is like to meet you in person and go to your store and like bring my like sleeping bag and then just be an intern and just live there forever.
Come to my house, sleep upstairs. I will say that I ripped all my flooring out the week I bought the house or the second week, and there's still no flooring 3 years later upstairs. But you can sleep up there. The guest room has floor. So, or you can sleep on the couch. Come on over. Yeah, I mean, social media is so great. Like, I think that there's a lot of things that aren't wonderful about it, but
draw the boundaries, you know?
Yeah, the thing that's really awesome is that you can connect with so many people, mm-hmm. and it opens so many doors that weren't there before. And I mean, information and access ideas is just through the roof. Like there's no excuse. There's always like no excuse to not know or try. And I think I know like in my old job, people used to always make fun of me or like think I was crazy. I don't know. Cause I'd be like, oh, just message them on Instagram. And they'd be like, you want me to message this person on Instagram? I'm like, I mean, I remember I wanted, there was this brand, it's no longer, I don't think it exists anymore, but it's called Hill City. Yeah. And I am a big fan of Eric Toda. He's a CMO. I think he's at Facebook now, but he's been at like Airbnb, Facebook, maybe Twitter. He's been all over. He's amazing as a CMO. And I wanted to figure out where he got something made. This was like a sign that they had made that was like an LED lit box. And so I was messaging like Hill City. I was messaging like all these employees on LinkedIn. I was messaging him. He finally responded. And out of everybody that I messaged, the guy I wanted to talk to responded and was like, oh yeah, here you go. Tell him I sent you. Wow. And I was just like, what? Social media is so dang cool because ultimately, for the most part, people want to help people. And people can relate to like wanting something that they don't have or like wanting to figure something out or needing to solve a problem. You're not always going to like slam dunk it and find out what you want. But, you know, a lot of times people are willing to help you. So just like ask.
100%. I totally agree with that. I also had that situation where I was like, oh, like I wanted to talk to someone and they were, you know, very, very high level, right? And I just LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, find their email. I've connected with like executives like at Reebok, at like Dagny Dover, and they are just very genuine people that are like, I would love to help you. I'd love to chat 15 minutes with you, you know, just make sure that you're prepared to ask whatever it is that you want. And then there, it's just the power of people just wanting to give it back if you just have the courage to ask. Yay. Okay. Super cool. Can you tell us how our audience can support you, follow you, shop with you, everything, Maggie and Presley Page?
All the things. Okay, let's all do this. Right. You can shop with us online at Presley, Presley, Page, Paige.com, PresleyPage.com. We are on Instagram and Pinterest and Facebook at Shop Presley Page. And I am on Instagram at MP_Owens.
Love it. Love it. Okay. Before we wrap up, can we do some really
quick? Oh my gosh. Wait, we have our promo code.
Oh, yay. Okay. Yes.
I forgot what it is, but let me check. I don't know if you remember. 1 second. Okay.
Creative Human 15.
Yes. I'm like, if you found it, great. I was like going through our Shopify. Shop with us. Use this code CreativeHuman15 for 15% off your order online. And send me a message and let us know in the comments or whatever that you heard the podcast and I'll include something special for you.
Yay! Love surprises. Thank you for doing that. Okay. Before we wrap up, let's do some really cool, fun questions.
Okay. Let's do it.
What is your current favorite song on replay?
I don't know the name of it, but it is I put all my jewelry just to go to the bodega. That's the song.
I love it. I think it's a song by Bia, Whole Lot of Money. I just
Googled. I have no idea, but it's great.
Okay. What is your ice cream or froyo type of gal?
Oh, I'm definitely ice cream. Strawberry cheesecake if it's available. If not, strawberry.
Love. Coffee or tea? I think you don't drink coffee though, right?
I don't drink either.
Wow, yeah. No way.
I'm a water drinker, so.
That's so cool. I also don't drink coffee and I can literally count on my hands how many people I've met that don't drink coffee and we are the weirdos, but I'm like, we're the cool ones. I love it.
Yeah.
What is your favorite type of food to feed your soul?
Oh gosh, clearly love to eat. My favorite food is Indian food.
Yum. Okay. What is like a product you can't live without in your work bag or in your personal purse?
Not a phone, like a product that I would use is that
just an object, like something.
Oh, okay.
Love.
I would just say my cell phone because I'm very low key. Like I don't have a purse. I usually have a backpack everywhere I go. And you see me and you're like, why does she have a backpack on? It's like, cause I can put everything I need in a backpack. I don't need a purse. And so, yeah, probably just my phone. That's the only thing that's like usually with me. It has my money and everything else I need. So.
Okay. Dogs or cats or both?
Dogs for sure. Dogs.
Okay. Favorite vacation spot you've been to or one that you are just on your bucket list looking forward to?
Not a big traveler, super big homebody. So just throw that out there. But my favorite place to visit is Los Angeles.
Fun. Okay. And final question, what does it mean to be a creative human to you?
Oh my gosh. You leave the hardest question for last. To be a creative human means you're going to be resilient, never give up, and always show up to be your most authentic self.
Yay. All right. Thank you so much, Maggie, for your time. I'm super, super grateful. Hopefully we can do another episode live at your shop in the near future.
Thank you, Vanessa. Thank you guys all. Look forward to connecting with you all online.
Yes, we are going to put all of Maggie's information here in the details so you can follow her and support her on her journey. Thank you again, and we'll see you at next week's episode for another person who inspires me.